Good morning. My name is Jose Portillo, and it's my privilege to be here with you. You may take a seat. 38 years ago, my parents were planting a church in the city of San Jose, Costa Rica. They had left El Salvador with the promise that this church that they were leaving was going to give them $50 a month to plant a church. Till this day, they're still waiting for those $50. But they went to Costa Rica and they began getting to know people. And they planted a church, so I was born there. And then my older brother was born there. I'm one of four boys, and I grew up in Central America. 16 years of my life, I grew up all throughout Central America. El Salvador during Civil War, El Salvador during the earthquakes. And I grew up in a moment in time where the church was the most important place where people could find fellowship, where people could find family, where people could find fellowship. And it was during those times that I began to feel my call to ministry. Not because it was a successful call of ministry that my dad had, but God was present in his life. During civil war, during poverty, during earthquakes, it was visible that God was faithful with our family. That whenever we didn't have, God showed up. At the right moment, he came and fed us and kept us. And the Lord allowed the ministry of my dad to flourish. And in the middle of a very poor community, he began preaching the gospel. And people began coming to faith. And the church began to be active, involved in the community, caring for the homeless, caring for the people that didn't have home, caring for the people that didn't have places to live. And I thought, okay, I know what I want to do in my life. I want to serve God, and I want to do it here. But God had different plans. Yeah. So by the age of 16, we were in Texas. I thought for a long time, I'm going to serve God in Central America, but God had different plans. We ended up in the city of Houston, Texas, and my life was shocked. Not by the different cultural experience, but it was the church. We were no longer a church that was involved 7 days a week in the community, hearing the gospel, inviting people to fellowship, and then to go out to display the love and the gospel of Jesus Christ. But it was a church where we landed that the most important aspect of church was the barbecue and the sweet tea that came afterwards. And sometimes, even better, there was a football game about to be played. So for a long time, I wondered, Lord, what are you calling me to be? If I'm not going to be serving you in this way, what do you want from me? And it's been a long journey of my life where I've been serving along my dad for 10 years in Houston, serving the Hispanic community. And I began realizing one thing. The sons and the daughters of the Hispanic community were leaving the church. They were growing here, and they couldn't fit the paradigm of church life in the Spanish-speaking community. And at the beginning, I thought, okay, they are going to the English-speaking church that can offer all these great things. But guess what? They were not. They didn't fit part of the Spanish-speaking community, but they turned into the church and they didn't find their place there. So the Lord began putting in my heart what it would look like to plant a church that pursues those kids of the immigrant community that don't feel that they belong. What it would look like to bring the gospel and to enable them to realize that the Lord has gifts and talents in their lives and that God wants to use them, that they are called to be leaders, and that only the gospel of Jesus Christ can bring unity and use their gifts and talents so that they can serve their community. And it was there when I began a long journey of seminary. And I began seminary in Houston, working 65 hours a week, caring for my family, being an intern in a church. I began taking classes at a seminary, hoping that I could be trained, hoping that I could grow, hoping that one day God would use me. And eventually, that seminary brought me here to Charlotte. 6 years ago, I knew that as a 33-year-old man, I was coming to the city of Charlotte to finish my degree, and that God was going to take me as a single guy to plant a church in the middle of the Hispanic community in the city of Houston. But God has different plans. And I met my wife in the first class that I took. Now we've been married 5 years. We have a 3-year-old daughter. We have a 1.5-year-old son. We have two babies in heaven. And the Lord has been calling us to Him to serve. And He has been displaying His call in calling us, what it would look like to serve the community where He's calling us. We went back to Houston, and yet God said, not in Houston, and we came back to Charlotte. And for the last 2 years, we've been asking God, Lord, how do You want to use us? And the Lord brought us to the university area, a city that is 77% minorities. People from all over the world are coming, international, local. And now we are praying that the Lord will let us plant a church in the middle of that community. We're planting a church called Vive Charlotte Church. And Vive means life in Spanish, but means more than life. It means He lives. So we want to be those who declare that He lives. And because He lives, we can know that we have life. And because we have life, we can know that because He is alive, because He reigns, we can go, therefore, into our community and bring gospel life. That's who we are. That's who I am. That's what we're doing here. It's a joy to be here with you. I met Pastor Drew around 5 years ago. Yeah, I had joined Christ Central Church because my wife was working there. And Pastor Drew was the first mentor that I had in the city. And we met regularly. And so it is a joy to be here with you and bring God's word. And when I was invited, I was told, you can preach anything. And so it's hard sometimes when you're not assigned. So I was wondering, okay, Lord, what word can I bring to our community in West Charlotte? And Psalm 93 was clear in my heart. We have an unshaken King. And if He is unshaken, that means the kingdom to which He's inviting us to is unshaken. And that means that in the face of whatever we struggle, whatever circumstances we may face, if we are in the Lord, we can know that we will not fall, that He is unshaken. So the Psalms are very important because they give us testimonies of who God is. He is King, He is Creator, He is Sustainer, He is our Redeemer. He gives us salvation. He restores us. He says that He gives life to the ones that are in need, that He gives hope to those that have lost it, that He gives strength, He gives endurance. The Psalms invite us to know our God. But not only that, they invite us to worship. They invite us to understand what it means to be invited to Him. It invites us to discover who He is, what He is offering to us, what He does for His people. So the Psalms invite us to worship, so that we will pray, so that we will sing, so that we will know who He is. As we read the Psalms, we begin to gain the language of God, of who He is, so that our souls will understand and try to discover what is this language, that He is holy, that He is majestic, that He is high and lifted up. So the Psalms invite us to worship, but the Psalms also invite us to pray. The Lord gives us words that we can pray. Words and Psalms that tells us that we can come as we are, that we can come and He receives us as we are. We can come even when we think He's silent. We can come to Him even when we are in an unbalanced emotional state, when we are angry or when we're depressed or when we are just sad. The Psalms invite us to come. We can find prayers of comfort. We can find prayers of distress or thanksgiving or just cries of laments because the life that is surrounding us is not fun, maybe crazy. So the psalmist and the Psalms give us a ways by which we can pray. The Psalms show us the first places that sometimes we can come to the Lord even when we think He's silent. The Psalm invites us to come to God even when we think that He is not listening, He is not showing up, He has left us alone. The psalmist reminds us that we are invited to come to God however we are. That's the incredible things about the Psalms. The Psalm offer us a way to rejoice in prayer, a way to bow down in worship, a way to exalt God even when we have no words to speak. And that's one of those Psalms that we have today, Psalm 93. Yeah, our passage today is like a psalm of victory, a declaration that in the face of tribulations, that in the face of chaos surrounding us, God is present. So today I just have two simple points. First is that the life of chaos is real. There is difficulties, there's obstacles in this life. But number two, there is an unshakable kingdom. the reality that in the face of trials and tribulations, God's people will be cared for because He is the Creator. He will provide for us. He will aid us. He will always show up at the right moment. And that is His promise. So I would like to invite you to read with me Psalm 93 and to ask the Lord afterwards that He will allow His good word, which is a good seed, to bear fruit in our lives, because that is His promise. He bears good fruit through His word. So let us read together. The Lord, He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed. He has put on strength as His belt. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. Your throne is established from of old. You are from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their roaring. Mightier than the thunders of many waters, mightier than the waves of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty. Your decrees are very trustworthy. Holiness befits your house, O Lord, forevermore. Thanks be to the Lord. This is His word, and He desires that it will be planted in good soil. And His promise is that it will bear fruit, 160 and 30-fold. So let us pray and ask the Lord that He will make us good soil today because His word is good. Heavenly Father, we pray, would You speak to our lives? Would You bring a view and a sight to our eyes that You are mighty, that You are seated up in the throne and that You are not shaken? And give us the certainty of that reality so that when we look at the circumstances that face us, we will know. Because You are sitting up in the throne. You are unshaken. You are inviting us into a kingdom where we are promised that we will not fall. So, Lord Jesus, let Your word accomplish what You have designed it today in our hearts, in our lives. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When we read verse 3, we know that the psalmist is experiencing chaos. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their roaring. When you study and go look at the history of the context of our scriptures today, you realize that in the history of this ancient Near East world, they believed that chaos was surrounding the world. That the waters and the oceans were at odds with the light and stability, that chaos was constantly trying to overtake the stability of life. The chaotic forces were seeking to destroy the created order. That's why people imagine the world to be created over the foundations of the world were water and the depths of the water. They knew that everything was coming against the created order. So whenever they saw floods and storms and raging seas, these demonstrated to the people that chaos is coming to destroy them, that everything is coming to undo the goodness that surrounds them. So when they considered the water, even when they thought of rivers that we think that are so beautiful in the mountains, they even considered that that was proof that the water and the chaos of the seas was making its way even to the highest points of the created order. So we see how whenever we go into the Old Testament, the writers use the language for people to understand that there is tribulations and difficulties and that there is threats to God's people. And that's why verse 3 is very important for us to look today, because the floods have lifted up. The floods now are lifted up and now they're lifting their voices. And not only they're lifting their voices, they're roaring. The psalmist wants the readers to know that the depths of the issues that are against him and against God's people are increasing. They're speaking, they're announcing, they're declaring to him, the psalmist, that he will be destroyed. The circumstances that are surrounding him are telling him, you will be destroyed. The intensity of the forces of this rising, of this lifting up, of the voices being heard, of the roaring being heard, means that there is troubles, and that the troubles are great and maybe too great to bear. And this is where the psalmist is writing for the readers to know that the chaos around him is great. He is no longer in control. This chaos of flood means destruction, uncontrollable, and circumstances that are too great. This means that he's not in control necessarily. The obstacles are clear in his mind. That fear is now reigning in his head and in his thoughts. Fear could only allow him to see the impending doom. That's why the description of the waters and the floods mean. Fear was showing him that he is weak. Fear was showing him that his life is frail. We see how the Old Testament uses the descriptions of floods. In Isaiah 17, 12, 13, it says, the raging of many nations, they rage like the sea. The raging of the peoples like great waters. In Ezekiel 29 and Jeremiah 31, the leaders of Egypt and Iscol, Pharaoh is a monster of the seas. And in Jeremiah 51, it says Nebuchadnezzar is like a serpent of the sea. Not only the oceans are raging against God's people, but the monsters of the sea are also rising up to destroy. You can see that the mentioning of the sea and the oceans and the floods and the waters are pointing to great obstacles all through the Psalms and all through the Old Testament. The threat is clear. People are in anguish. The psalmist realizes that there is troubles around him. But even then, the psalmist remembers something. And the psalmist reminds us today that no one, that nothing can stand and can match the power of God, the creator, the maker of life. Because just as the Spirit of God hovered over the waters of the created in Genesis 1, 2, we can call upon the name of the Lord. The Holy Spirit hovered over the chaos of the waters, and now we can call upon His name. So when the psalmist shows us that the floods are lifting up and their voices are increasing and they are now roaring, and yet he reminds us that verse 4 and 5 will come. The psalmist invites us to realize that there is chaos all around us. And friends, what are the floods that surround your life? What are the floods that are currently designed to make you fear and not see that God is with you? What is taking your sight from God? What waters are surrounding your life? Think about it. There's things in your life that are surrounding you so that you would not see that the Lord is King, that He reigns, that He is sitting up on the throne. What is taking your sight from God? Is it health? Is it chronic illness? Is it family? You desire children, you desire a wife, you desire a spouse. Are you experiencing financial issues? Are these things over? Are becoming floods that do not let you see beyond the circumstances? Is it relational? Are you struggling in relationships? Are you in need of reconciliation? Or is sin in your life making everything around you seem dark? You're hoping not to be found out, but at the same time, you're hoping that somebody will find out so that you could at least have a conversation to be set free. The psalmist was aware of the real floods. They were threatening his life and his people, but he didn't stop there. But he shows us that he belongs to an unshakable kingdom, knowing this to be true because his king was never shaking in the face of the floods. That's why the psalmist knew that the kingdom is secure because God, He reigns. Look at with me at verse 1. The Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed. He has put on strength in His belt. Look at this. The floods look so great, but the Lord reigns. He is clothed in majesty. That means He is not standing by, but He is ready. He is already robed. The Lord is robed. He has put on strength. Who can be against Him? The Lord is not only authority, but He is power. He is the creator. The world is established, the text says. He shall never be moved. He is king without a political term. He does not age out. He does not grow tired. He does not grow distracted. He is never afraid. The text reminds us that He reigns and that He is faithful to accomplish all that He has promised. But yes, the floods are rising. Yes, their voices are louder and their roaring is becoming furious. But verse 4 and 5 come next. Mightier than the thunders of many waters, mightier than the waves of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty. Your decrees are very trustworthy. Holiness befits your house, O Lord, forever and ever. My friends here today, do you know him? Do you know this God who is mightier than whatever you are facing? Do you know this Lord that is mightier than whatever your friends and families and neighbors and circumstances that they are facing? He wants to be your Lord. He wants to be your Savior. He wants to be the one that you would regain your trust in him. But it's not easy. Even as the people of God, it is easy to lose sight because the floods look great. And we can even see this in the lives of the disciples. In Mark 4, the disciples for a moment lose sight of this unshaking king. For a moment, the disciples lose the understanding that the kingdom of God will not be shaken. And for a moment, they think that the chaos that is surrounding them will overtake them. In Mark 4, Jesus invites his disciples to go on the boat to the other side of the lake. They live with him on a boat, and yet all of a sudden the floods begin to rise up, and the storm begins to get hard. And some of the text says that the water begins to get into the boat, and some of the texts in the gospel account say that the water begins to, some of them feel that they are drowning. And they see Jesus, and Jesus is just resting, and Jesus is just laying and sleeping, and he is chill. And they come to Jesus and ask him, Jesus, don't you care? Don't you care that we are perishing? And the text shows us that Jesus awakes, and he stands up, and he rebukes the wind and says, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was calm. In the middle of chaos, in the middle of the storms that were rising up, even the disciples that had seen Jesus heal and feed people and restore people and save people, in the middle of the storms, even the disciples thought, does Jesus actually care that we are perishing? And for a moment, what we realize is that the disciples for a moment thought that they had invited Jesus into their boat. And that if Jesus was in their boat, maybe in the time of need, they could go to him. But what Jesus does in waking up, in bringing calm and peace to the storm, he shows them, no, you are in my boat. And I am king. And I can speak to the storm, and I can bring calm to the issues that are surrounding us. So we see that the psalmist is clear. In the face of chaos, in the face of rising floods, the Lord is mighty. In verse 4, it says, he is mightier than the thunders of many waters. He is mightier than the waves of the sea. The Lord on high is mighty. In the Old Testament, any time we see repetitions, it is important for us to pay attention. Because the psalmist is not only saying he is mighty, but he is mightier than mighty. And not only mightier than mighty, he is king over the mighty. He is the strongest. He is mighty, he is mighty, he is mighty. But not only that. Because he is mighty, verse 5 says, and it invites us to know he is trustworthy. My friends, the Lord is trustworthy. Because he is sitting on the throne, he is trustworthy. You need to hear this. The Lord is trustworthy. So no matter what you're facing, no matter where you are, no matter where your friends or this family that you care for seems to be struggling, the Lord is trustworthy. And when we call upon his name, he delivers us. The Lord is holy, and so he is faithful to his promises. He is faithful, and so we can trust him. So in the face of depression, he is trustworthy. In the face of fear, he is trustworthy. In the face of any situation that you are facing, even in the face of sin in your life, he is trustworthy. He is able to overcome the floods. He is able to bring peace and restoration and life. Because the king is unshaken. So the kingdom that he is inviting you to be part of is not going to fall apart. You can call upon his name. You can call upon the Lord to open your eyes. And you need to pray, Lord, allow me to see past the floods that I am facing. And ask him to renew your faith. To come after him. Because he delivers even when all seems lost. In the Gospels, we see another story. In Luke 8, a woman with chronic illness for 12 years. She has spent all the money that she had. And the text says that even after all that she had spent and seen all the physicians, she was worse. The floods had overtaken her life. She had experienced, she was at the depths, probably, of the storm that had overtaken her. But it was there, in the middle of being out of money, in the middle of being in the worst health condition ever, that she began to hear. Probably her neighbors began, and she began to hear the testimony. There is one that is not charging and healing people. There is one that is not asking for anything in return, but he is coming to feed the hungry. He is coming to set the captive free. He is coming to deliver. He is coming and heal. He is coming. And all of a sudden, something begins to happen in the life of this woman. That you can read the story in Luke 8. All of a sudden, something happens in her life. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors. She had spent all that she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. That's what the text says. But she said to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be healed." This is an amazing picture because she is completely surrounded by the flood. The flood has overtaken her life and something happens. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ comes to her in the middle of being overtaken. When she had been sinking down, the Lord comes and gives her a word. And she, in the picture, that you can go and read that story, and she will make her way across a sea of people. And she will push herself through the people, even though she should not. She is about to lose her name, reputation. She should be the one that is outside in the hidden place. But she knows that if she just makes it to Jesus, she can be healed. And we see how her faithfulness, as she goes through the people and pushing through the crowd and pushing the obstacles that are before her, she makes it to Jesus saying, "If I can touch Jesus, I will be healed." And all of a sudden we hear Jesus said, "Somebody has touched me. And I know this because power has come out of me." At that moment, we see that at the moment when all seems lost, the Lord Jesus Christ has power to heal. The Lord Jesus Christ has power to restore. This woman received, at the moment when she had lost everything, not only healing, but she received something that was greater. She was invited to have fellowship with the King. She was invited to be part of the fellowship of those who are not shaken. She was invited to be part of those who will live with Him forever. Our Lord, He is trustworthy. And in the face of the floods, He is trustworthy. We are invited in this text, we are invited in this psalm, to ask Him to renew our faith. We're invited to come to Him, to be reminded that even if the flood seems so great, that we are called to see that He is trustworthy, that He is King, that He is seated up on His throne, and that He reigns. Our Lord is trustworthy. He gives us His assurance in His word that He has obtained the final victory. And we see it because on the cross, Jesus defeated death. On the cross, Jesus took the flood that was designed to kill us, to take our lives away, and He took that flood and allowed it to come over His own life so that we would have life. The flood that was destined for us came pouring down with wrath over the life of Jesus, and yet at the cross, He gave His life so that we would have life. He has crushed the serpent, and He invites us to this eternal life in His kingdom, where He is King, where His kingdom is unshaken, where there will be no more death, where there will be no more sea, where there will be no more tears, where there will be no more doubt or pain, where He promises that all things are made new. Your Lord, West Charlotte Church, is trustworthy. He is unshaken. And if you stand on Him, you will not be moved. So the Lord invites us to see Him up, to see that He is seated up on the throne, that He reigns, that He is robed in majesty, that He has put on strength, that the world that He has established will not be moved, no matter how great the floods are. That we are called to remember verse 4, "Mightier than the thunders, of many waters, mightier than the waves of the sea. The Lord is on high. He is mighty. West Charlotte Church, your Lord is trustworthy, and you can come to Him as you are. The Lord is trustworthy, and you can go with the message of good news into your community. The Lord is trustworthy, and you can know that He restores, He renews. He brings people from death into life. He brings people that are sick to health. He brings people that are lost to salvation. He brings people that had no place and no community to the fellowship of those who know Him and are known by Him. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you allow us to gather, to worship, to be reminded of who you are, that you are seated up on the throne. That yes, the circumstances that we face are great, and sometimes greater than we can bear. Yet, our King is unshaken, and His kingdom will not be moved, and we belong to that King. So Lord, restore our sights to see you high and lifted up, and to know that it is you who was drawing all men unto yourselves. Let your word accomplish what you have designed today in our hearts, I pray. Amen.